corn and soybean crops. That's our noon hour look at WILL News. Our next report at 4:30 this afternoon during All Things Considered.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center with unique and independently owned food stores and entertainment facilities like Common Ground Food Co-op and 88 Broadway.
A cold front across northeastern Illinois will keep temperatures on the cool side there. Elsewhere, temperatures will return to unseasonably warm levels. A low-pressure system is organizing in the plains. That system will shift east of the Mississippi River tomorrow, and that will bring the region the next chance of showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures today will range from the mid-50s in northeastern Illinois to the upper 80s in southwestern Illinois. Low temperatures tonight will range from the low 40s in northeastern Illinois to the mid-60s across southeastern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. The wind from the east at 15 to 20 miles per hour tonight. Partly cloudy with a low of 57. The wind will be out of the southeast from 10 to 15. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. There's a slight chance of morning showers and thunderstorms. And then there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon. Look for a high tomorrow of 82. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and cooler, with a chance of evening showers and thunderstorms, the low 48. The wind will be out of the north from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, partly sunny, much cooler, with a high in the mid-60s. The wind from the northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, with a chance of showers. We'll see a low in the mid-40s. The outlook for Thursday and Thursday night, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 50s and a low in the low 40s. At noon central time, most of the locations across Illinois and Indiana reported sunshine. Temperatures ranged from the mid-50s to the low 80s. At Rockford, 61. At O'Hare, 57. In Bloomington, 65. Mattoon checked in with 71. And Carbondale, 81. At South Bend, 55. Lafayette, 61. Indianapolis reported 60 degrees. Terre Haute, 67. Willard Airport had a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 68 degrees, the dew point 51, the relative humidity 54%, excuse me, the wind out of the east at 16, the barometer 29.84, and steady. And at 1240, 67 degrees in Urbana. The U.S. Department of Agriculture this year unveiled a new nutrition standard for school meals. It's the first major nutritional overhaul of its kind in more than 15 years. As part of our series on efforts in the region to increase health and wellness, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports on how the Champaign School District is trying to stay ahead of new federal regulations taking effect this year and beyond.
Know how to choose a lunch that will help to keep you as bright as you are today and in all the days to come. And then comes time to pay. Oh, what a line stopper this can be.
The sheer thrill of eating lunch at school hasn't changed all that much since the 1950s. You get out of class, talk to friends, and maybe dive into some comfort food. Let's say chips, milk, and some mystery meat.
The chicken sandwich. I like that it has some sort of crunch to it and that it's just like homemade chicken sandwich.
Bosco sticks. The cheese. I really enjoy the cheesy ingredients. It's really good.
I usually get a lot of salad because it's good for me.
Sometimes if they have something different, I'll try it. Like macaroni and cheese, broccoli, and broccoli with cheese.
Edison Middle School students Andrea Cooper, Allegra Lubaga, Rio Beals, and Joshua Jackson are enjoying lunch prepared by Mary Davis, the director of food services in the Champaign School District. She and her staff prepare about 5,500 meals a day. In her year and a half on the job, Davis has introduced more fruits and vegetables. And by next fall, fruits or vegetables will be required on every school lunch tray. Davis has even added tofu as another option for high school students, despite the added expense.
Tofu is quite high if you get a regular serving, but we're willing to take those costs on because this is the way we're headed, and we want to be there ahead of other districts and ahead of any mandates and regulations that they may enforce.
The USDA requires schools to offer proteins, grains, vegetables, fruits, and dairy. In the Champaign School District, elementary school students are required to have all five components, but students in upper grade levels can pick three out of the five for their meals to meet federal mandates.
Hello, how are you today? You owe 80 cents, okay? Thank you.
Ethel Dwyer is a lunchroom cashier at Edison Middle School.
Hon, do you need to get a milk? Okay. Did you get silverware? Thank you.
So based on the federal requirements, a complete meal can be milk, juice, and a vegetable. Or it can be two Bosco sticks and a milk, since that includes grains, dairy, and proteins.
Thank you.
Chris Light Brenneman has a son at Edison Middle School. She says her son talks about school meals the same way she did at his age.
And that is to complain all the time about it. But I think that here they seem to have a balance of choices. I know that that's one of the difficulties of adolescence is he has to make the choice, and there's a lot of prepackaged stuff that I hope he doesn't choose, but I know he probably will.
Stopping by some of the lunch tables at Edison, the attitudes about nutrition among the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders run the gamut. Tyler Thompson credits his parents for encouraging him to be healthy.
Like when they were younger, they didn't eat healthy, but now they're eating healthy, so they're like a role model to me, so I'm just going to be like a role model back.
But for some students, like Erica Sepich and Mackenzie Williams, nutrition isn't a factor. Why don't you guys ever think about the health aspects? Do your parents talk to you about it?
No.
Yours?
No.
Should they, do you think?
Nope. It's really our choice, though.
Why do you say that?
Because it's our body, and if we want to eat unhealthy foods, then that's on us.
Mary Davis says offering healthy options can be one obstacle because of the added cost. But she says another challenge can be getting students to willingly eat the food.
Students are in a hurry. They want to get outside, or they want to talk with their friends, and they haven't eaten until the bell rings, and so they're throwing a lot of their food away except for their chocolate milk. Getting them to eat it is another issue.
Davis says pushing for health and wellness in the schools is a team effort. At Carrie Busey Elementary School, she recently removed sugary items from the breakfast menu, substituting whole grains, bagels, and white milk for donuts, certain cereals, and flavored milk. But Davis says it's the teachers who must play an important role in encouraging students to appreciate nutrition.
I will make my way through and tell you the go food, the fresh fruit or vegetable, healthy food that I would like you to eat today to get your name in the raffle.
Meet Carrie Busey's PE teacher, Wendy Starwalt.
Tavon, applesauce. Did you read your applesauce?
I did.
If you read it, you can. Tavon,
I ate all my applesauce.
Week applesauce.
Starwalt scans the lunches of kindergartners. She rates their meals on a sliding scale. Go foods, like fruits and vegetables, are considered the most healthy. Slow foods, like yogurt and cheese, should be eaten in moderation. And woe foods, like frosted cupcakes and candy, are reserved strictly for special occasions. Oh, and students who eat plenty of go foods, well, they can win a prize.
I have 4 basketballs, 2 pedometers, and a water bottle. If I call your name, you may come and pick one thing.
Starwalt says based on conversations she's had with parents, many of her students are conscious about eating the go foods, not just at school, but at home. While the Champaign School District does sell a la carte items at the middle and high schools, it does not sell those snacks at the elementary schools. Meanwhile, vending machines are only accessible to students at the high schools. Even though some students may fall off track at times, Starwalt says what they learn about nutrition at a young age sets a foundation for the rest of their lives.
People used to only drink soda pop like on a Saturday night. Well, now if you go to a high school, you'll see soda pop all year, all day long, including Gatorade, Propel, which are just as full of sugar. And that didn't used to happen years ago. And so that we have to kind of shift our kids to know, you know, that's a treat. That's something special. If you're going to have that, you can't drink that all the time.
Many of the nation's schools are working to provide healthy meals. The Obama administration this year announced new guidelines for government-subsidized free and reduced meals, of which more than half of Unit 4 students qualify. Among the changes, meals will have calorie caps, sodium will gradually decrease over a decade, and flavored milks will have to be non-fat. Some of the changes will be in place by the fall, while others will be phased in over time. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
To watch an interview with Wendy Starwalt explaining her process of rewarding students and to learn more about the federal regulations that'll kick in this year, visit willconnect.org. Listen next Monday as Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers returns to Carrie Busey Elementary School to find out how students there are learning about nutrition in the classroom. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. With the Easter holiday right around the corner, Europe is facing an egg shortage. The egg industry blames the shortage on new European Union rules for chicken welfare. Terry Schultz reports from Brussels.
Egg-laying hens like these clucking around in suburban Brussels got a leg up from the EU this year with a long-planned ban on battery cages, the wire pens that cram chickens tightly together. European egg producers have had many years, a dozen to be exact, to transition to cage-free and let the market adjust. But they're still blaming the 1999 regulation for a current severe egg shortage in the commercial sector and price hikes of up to 250% in some regions. Easter brings the year's highest demand for eggs, and while supplies are fairly steady right now in grocery stores, buyers of huge volumes are taking a beating.
It is dire for our company.
Sabine Nofziger heads up Cowbisco, an association representing chocolate, cookie, and confection manufacturers. She says some members have had to cut back production and lay off workers. The egg industry gets little sympathy from animal rights advocates. Eurogroup for Animals spokesman Martin Griffiths notes that despite the dozen-year transition period, 13 of the 27 member states risk EU lawsuits because they haven't enforced the change.
And that's totally unnecessary and unacceptable to the animal welfare movement.
EU Agriculture Commission spokesman Roger Waite says the problems are temporary and just part of the price society pays for protecting animals.
We're not going back on these rules. Consumers want it. The politicians have accepted it.
For Easter bunnies who worry about either ethics or supplies, animal rights representative Griffiths advises...
Go chocolate.
For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
How does one come home from war injured physically and psychologically and build a life anew? In Hell and Back Again, our next community cinema, two overlapping narratives are intercut, creating both a dreamlike quality and a strikingly realistic depiction of how Marines experienced this war. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library, Tuesday, April 3rd, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 2nd of April, 2012. It's the birthday of Hans Christian Andersen, born in Odense, Denmark, 1805, son of an illiterate mother, a poor cobbler. He trained for the ballet, the stage, and the opera, but when all of that failed, he settled on becoming a poet. His first novel got him enough success, he was able to afford to travel, which would become his lifelong passion. He left Denmark on 30 different trips, spending 20 years abroad, traveling as far as Constantinople. He was a fine promoter of himself, and he befriended practically everyone of importance in Europe, musicians and scientists, politicians, royalty, artists. He wrote 6 novels, several travel books, 35 plays, and 175 fairy tales, including The Little Mermaid, The Princess and the Pea, The Emperor's New Clothes, Thumbelina, The Ugly Duckling. And he remained forever true to his humble beginnings. He believed that status should be the right of everyone and not the privilege of the aristocracy. It's the birthday of Giacomo Casanova, born in Venice, 1725, the famous libertine. He was a compulsive gambler, restless man, earned a law degree. He was secretary to a cardinal in Rome. He joined the military, played violin in the theater, translated the Iliad, spied for the government, was a librarian, and seduced many women, which he wrote about in his 12-volume autobiography, The Story of My Life. It came to 3,500 pages. Casanova, who wrote, "I loved, I was loved, my health was good, I had a great deal of money, and I spent it, I was happy, and I confessed it to myself." And it's the birthday of the novelist Émile Zola, born in Paris, 1840, who tried to apply scientific principles of observation to writing fiction. Émile Zola, who said, "One forges one's style on the terrible anvil of daily deadlines. The artist is nothing without the gift, but the gift is nothing without work." Here's a poem for today by George Bilgear entitled Desire. The slim, suntanned legs of the woman in front of me in the checkout line fill me with yearning to provide her with health insurance and a sporty little car with personalized plates. The way her dark hair